This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Wisconsin and beyond. How y'all doing? Happy Hump Day Wednesday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Cardi with me on the board today, 855-75-CIVIC. That is 855-752-4842. Cardi, you ever have one of those days where, like, there is so much happening, you almost can't organize your thoughts? I'm kind of having one of those days a little bit. Yeah, like, just so much going on. And, you know, as I was getting ready for the show today, I happened to hear a little advertisement on the radio, right? And apparently, it is holiday season, and that means, my friends, that the McRib is back at McDonald's, y'all.
Every
year the McRib around holiday time. So I had to ask everybody, to each and every one of you out there, like, do you have a thing that you know is not good for you and you love it anyways from a fast food joint? Because I'll tell you, like, I am McRib guilty. It's not a rib. It's like ground up rib meat made to look like ribs. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? But you give me a McRib sandwich on that long bun with, like, a ton of onions. I also like to add the pickles onto my McRib. Like, that sandwich is delicious, and yet it does not bear any resemblance to actual ribs. I mean, they shape it's them insane. To look like ribs, but there's no bones. I mean, the whole thing is weird, isn't it?
That goes into that 3D printing food thing, which is, that's crazy. It's insane.
What? Yeah. They can print food, Cardi? Yes. Tell me this isn't so.
Yes, they can actually 3D print food for consumers to use and to intake. It's insane.
You mean you can eat actual print? Does anybody understand 3D printing? I mean, I'm sure there are some very smart people out there. I'm going to have to do some reading about this. Maybe we'll talk about the 3D food tomorrow or on Friday.
For sure, yeah.
And, like, 3D printing writ large. I'm like, how do you 3D print a gun? But you can do it. You can 3D print basically, like, anything. Can we 3D print houses? Is this, like, the solution to everything?
Yeah.
But back to the McRib. What a troubling sandwich it is. And yet, I love it, folks. If you want to have a laugh and tell me what your favorite guilty pleasure fast food is, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, Cardi, other than 3D printed food, do you have a fast food guilty pleasure, or are you real good about staying away from the fast food?
Okay, so I do try to stay away from fast food. I try to eat healthy, but then there's Chick-fil-A. So I live, like, literally two blocks away from that, and they're advertising a sandwich.
So what's your favorite Chick-fil-A sandwich?
The spicy chicken sandwich is my favorite one, and the tenders. Always get me.
Yep. I'm a spicy chicken sandwich fan. Like, if I'm going to get a chicken sandwich, like, give me the spicy chicken sandwich.
Right?
Otherwise, like,
it's no point.
The plain old chicken breast. Like, that's no good. That does not taste good. Give me the spicy chicken sandwich. Yeah, if you live two blocks away from a Chick-fil-A, that is just a recipe for disaster.
Agreed.
At least Chick-fil-A food looks like the food that you're supposed to be eating. I mean, the McRib, I guess, technically looks like the food.
Yeah.
But that's because it was shaped into a mold. I mean, If you have to mold
maybe,
your
maybe
food,
it was 3D printed. I don't know.
that's what I'm going to go with. I love that McRib. We got a texter from the 608 also weighing in that they are on the bandwagon from the McRib, y'all.
Let's go.
Michaela from West Bend telling us, yeah, they can 3D print houses too. It spits out a kind of concrete mix instead of the plastic. She is also a fan of the Shamrock Shake. Oh,
so wait,
yeah,
does that
Michaela.
Does that mean that they can, so are they 3D printing with concrete with the food too then? Or like, that would be insane.
Listen, I appreciate Cardi bringing up the 3D printer because I love homework assignments. I neglected to respond to my homework assignment that was given to me by a listener on Monday about rounding up at grocery stores and things. I have completed my homework assignment. We're going to talk about that today. I got Christina Reynolds from Emily's List. She's going to join me at 3:30, y'all. Keep your fast food guilty pleasures coming in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I've got a list of fast food guilty pleasures. We'll get to that. Maybe we'll hear more from Cardi. I want to hear more from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Got to have a little fun at the top of the show today. But we got Christina Reynolds from Emily's List. We're going to talk about how to keep your spirits up in this post-election moment that we're in. We got 4 years of Donald Trump coming up. We're in the midst of all this craziness about his appointments, all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have some very specific things to help keep you resilient and fighting and engaged, even when the news is difficult. There's a lot to learn from that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit today about incompetency in government and how do we diagnose that? How do we see that? How do we know when government is screwing up? And I'm going to talk about the idea of cognitive biases and how we consume information and how that might inhibit us or make it harder for us to actually figure out when government is doing what it's supposed to be doing. All of that coming up today. But let's get back to the most important business of the afternoon, and that is, what is your guilty pleasure fast food? I have to admit, this came to front of mind because the McRib is back, y'all, and this lady is a fan of the McRib. Mary from Tosa saying she likes to eat healthy ice cream at home, but she loves the malts at fast food joints. John from Hubertus, if you were committed to health rather than eating that fast food, Maggie, you would not know what the McRib tastes like. I don't. Listen, I'm committed to health. I'm a lifelong athlete. I work out. I do watch what I eat. But a guilty pleasure is just that. You're eating something that you know you shouldn't. Hence my question, what is the guilty pleasure fast food? We all have them. Somebody mentioned the Shamrock Shake and Tyler chiming in. Ah, yes, I love a little Soylent Green with a side of fava beans served with a nice picante. I appreciate the joke, Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. But speaking of Shamrock Shakes, my dad and I used to have kind of a ritual when I would help him with yard work or things around the house, etc. Usually we would go to Wendy's for a Frosty after the work. That was like the thing that he and I would go do. And I still am like, one of the great mysteries of the world in fast food land is, why is the Wendy's spoon so deep? Have you ever wondered that? It's neither a teaspoon nor a tablespoon. It's just a very deep ladled spoon. I don't get it. Where did that come up with? My little kid mouth was like, this is too big. I can't get all my Frosties. So I'd give myself an ice cream headache trying to suck it through the straw, which doesn't work. And then I just resorted to getting fries and eating my Frosty with the fries. Because, you know, if we're going full guilty pleasure, give me some of them Wendy's fries. Am I right? I mean, Wendy's fries are delightful. Piping hot, quite salty. I know the purists that love the McDonald's fries are probably yelling at their radios right now. Thanks so much, everybody, for chiming in on what is a random fast food shout out beginning to this Wednesday show of Maggie Dawn here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But yesterday we got so wrapped up in what was an incredibly in-depth discussion about Act 10, and then we were talking about how are we going to judge the Trump administration's relative success. I did not get to what I promised you all I would get to yesterday, which is the importance of Giving Tuesday. It is Wednesday, but it is always a good day to give. So I wanted to do right by each and every one of you and revisit Giving Tuesday. Of course, Civic Media has you covered. We've got a list of some of our favorite charities. You can go to civicmedia.us, check out on the website. We've sort of vetted those charities, their state and local charities. So if you're thinking about how to do that on Monday, I gave you best practices for Giving Tuesday, how to avoid scams, how to diligence charities that you might be interested in. But I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to share some of your favorite charities. So you can, of course, keep telling me what your guilty pleasure fast food is. But if you have a favorite local or statewide charity that you'd like to give a shout out to, I know it's the day after Giving Tuesday, but again, it's never too late to give. I'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And the reason that I got reminded that I failed to do what I promised you all I would was because the entire state of Wisconsin, but especially the southeastern region of Wisconsin yesterday, was a very happy beneficiary of an incredible gift that will pay dividends for generations here in Wisconsin and beyond. And that is some anonymous donor or donors gave $3.5 million to the world-famous Milwaukee Art Museum to endow, basically to create an endowment so that children's admissions forever to the art museum will now be free. That just made me light up with happiness. I don't know who y'all are that gave the gift to the Milwaukee Art Museum so that kids can experience art for free every day for the rest of time from the Milwaukee Art Museum. But I just want to give you like my biggest smile and heartfelt thanks and warmest hug, making sure that everybody's got an access to art and fine art, especially, and can experience that. I mean, what parent wants to pay an admission fee for their kid to go to the art museum when the kid's going to be like, I maybe don't like this, right? Like, that's got to be the reaction of most kids. And you're probably not going to do that, but now you don't have to worry about it. You can take your kid whenever you want. It'll be free for them to get in. And I personally know that the art museum has done incredible things with their program to reach young people and kids. Lots of exciting things happen. It ain't your grandma's art museum is what I'm saying. So y'all got to check it out. It's free for your kids. Happy holidays from that amazing donor or donors in Milwaukee. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a couple of my favorite charities. You can get yours in as well. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's Giving Tuesday, the extended play version here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. How y'all doing this afternoon? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for playing along with me. A couple of chuckles to kick off Wednesday afternoon with each and every one of you. But until the bottom of the hour, when we're going to be joined by Christina Reynolds from Emily's List, I wanted to extend Giving Tuesday and make it, you know, the long play, the EP version of Giving Tuesday bleeding into Wednesday here, and give everybody the opportunity to give a shout out to some of your favorite charities. And I had a little bit of homework to do myself because one of our callers or texters, I can't remember which, on Monday asked me about rounding up at grocery stores. So I'm going to explain how that works. Is that actually just some tax avoidance scam by grocery stores? Does it have a meaningful impact? We're going to answer all those questions before the bottom of this hour. But I wanted to, again, give you the opportunity to share with you any of your favorite charities. that are local or impact the state of Wisconsin. If you would like to get in on that, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But I wanted to share with you a couple of my favorites that I have been personally involved with over the years, either volunteering some of my time or donating to these various charities. They include the following: the Sojourner Truth House, which helps survivors of domestic violence and their families; Meta House, which helps with addiction issues; of course, the Hunger Task Force, everybody's very familiar with that agency. The Milwaukee Rescue Mission has been around forever and has just done absolutely crucial work helping our communities, most vulnerable citizens and residents. Best D Clinic. This clinic has been around since the 70s that provides STI testing and a whole gamut of health services right on Brady Street, not too far from where I live in Milwaukee. The Urban Ecology Center here in Milwaukee is absolutely fabulous. And I have to give a shout out to Courage MKE. This is an LGBTQIA plus organization that helps young teenagers who frequently, again, face various challenges if they are in the LGBTQIA plus community. Certainly, it looks that they will be facing even more challenges after the Supreme Court decides the transgender rights case that was argued to it today. But if you would like to shout out a charity, or again, you're free to share a food guilty pleasure if you would like as well, all available for your comments, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Greg from Waukesha, what would you like to share this afternoon, friend?
Hi, Maggie. I can't hear you, so I'm assuming that I'm on for some reason. Now I can. Pumpkin pie is my guilty pleasure food. I don't know why it's a guilty pleasure, because pumpkin is actually healthy for you in small doses. But my charities, I just want to name two, and they both deal with disabilities really quickly. One of them is ARCH, the Association for the Rights of Citizens with Handicaps. And the reason I want to talk about this one, Maggie, is this one was an organization I became involved with in high school, and they were recently announced as Waukesha County Small Nonprofit of the Year, but that's not why I'm passionate about them. ARCH taught me, and you know, Maggie, I'm totally blind, but yep. ARCH taught me that we all have abilities and disabilities, and that differences are good, and that stereotypes are bad, and if we all just treated each other equally and accepted each other, we don't have to agree with each other, which is something I think you preach, Maggie. We don't have to agree with each other. We just have to accept each other. And yes. And it helped me with my public speaking about that in high school, and I still speak about that to this day. And then the other one, just real quick, and by the way, the website for that one is archchangeslives.org, archchangeslives.org, and it stands for the Association for the Rights of Citizens with Handicaps, and the H is small because the handicaps are minimized. The other one I was on the board of directors for was Good Friend Incorporated, and they do transition films and help people who have autism, and they try to spread the message that people with autism are just like anybody else. And right now they're working on a film to show to people who are employers, to show to people, because we need employers to know that people with disabilities can work well in our workforce, people with autism, people with, you know, other sorts of disabilities. So
totally agree, Greg. And I think that advocacy is all the more important in this moment, right? Huge moment with Donald Trump coming in. We're going to have to stand up to the forces that will try to create a less equal environment for folks with disabilities. Stand up for all of our friends, neighbors, and loved ones. Want to give a couple shout outs. Let's see. Matt from Germantown, Walk to End Alzheimer's in Washington County, especially. He's the co-chair. Thanks so much for sharing, Matt. Mary from TOSA, Our Space Inc., a Milwaukee psychosocial center that supports folks diagnosed with psychiatric diagnoses. Let's see, Michaela from West Bend, Project Sweet Peas. They're not local, but they definitely help local people, as they were there for me when my son was born very premature and spent 3 months in the NICU. Thank you for sharing, Michaela. I so appreciate that. If you are on the line, let's see if we can just get one more in really quickly. Ron, are you there? Very quickly, give a shout out. I just got about 30 seconds.
I'll do. I don't have a specific guilty pleasure. They're all guilty pleasures. But regarding the McRib, is it true? It's an urban myth, or just some, is it true that the it's really not the fruitcake, but the McRib that's there's only one of?
I am going to. I love it. More homework assignments for me. Thank you, Ron. We're going to find out what's in the McRib. We'll report that out tomorrow. We got Emily's List, Christina Reynolds coming up next. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really relieved and happy to be joined by my friend Christina Reynolds. She's the Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. Welcome back to the show, Christina. We have things to talk about. Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. We sure do. Happy to be back. Happy to have some things to celebrate and some things to talk about and figure out moving forward.
Yeah, I ran into a really good friend of mine randomly last evening, and he was basically asking me, like, hey, Maggie, can you tell me something to make me feel better? That's what he asked me, more or less. And I said, yes. And we went through a whole bunch of things. And we're going to talk about those today, Christina, because while it may seem or feel like the winter is coming, right, or has arrived, there are very good reasons for hope and optimisms, and there are infinite reasons to continue the fight. So let's just kind of step back. You worked both on Hillary Clinton's campaign, and obviously you've been very involved in trying to elect Kamala Harris. How are just personally and as a friend, like, how are you doing, Christina? Are you okay?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. There are a number of things that are frustrating about it. Frustrating is the G-rated word I will use for the show.
For radio, the FCC, and we appreciate that, yes.
Right. There are a number of things that that are tough about this. The first is there will be a legitimate real-world impact. Yes. There, who the person who is in the White House makes a difference in people's lives. That is true. And to think about some of the things that Donald Trump has promised and some of the things that he said that he promised he would not do, but certainly seems to be moving toward, like the Project 2025 agenda, will do real damage to people's lives. So that's a thing that I think, you know, let's put that in the troubling category and also in the things that we need to think about how we fight against. It's also something where I know an awful lot of people got engaged in this election, especially in the last 107 days, right? Yes. A lot of people felt that hope that I think we realized we had not been feeling through a lot of the cycle. A lot of people got engaged in ways they hadn't before. And what I truly hope is that those people don't take the lesson of my work didn't matter, because that's not the case. And here's the reason that I am, the reason that I can go on, right? The reason that I know that that work mattered is because I look at what happened now that we are far enough away from the election where we can say this was not a landslide election by any stretch of the imagination. This was not just a close election, but we're going to end up with the tightest House margin in modern history, which is very important. We saved a number. We always knew this was going to be a bad Senate cycle. And so yep. While it is devastating to lose the senators that we lost, Tammy Baldwin is still going to be a U.S. Senator. Alyssa Slotkin is going to be a U.S. Senator, and she's going to crush it. The same with Angela Alsobrooks and Lisa Blunt Rochester. Jackie Rosen is still going to be a U.S. Senator. And those women, not only are they going to make history, because they will, this will be the first time, sad we have to celebrate it, but this will be the first time that we have two black women
at the same time in the Senate. Yay!
We have now doubled the number of black women who are actually elected to the Senate. And that's exciting. And also those women are accomplished and they're going to get stuff done. Again, yes. I'm looking out for the FCC here for you, Maggie. But so we have made some progress in some important state legislatures, in some important Supreme Courts. And I think you all see in Wisconsin why those state Supreme Courts matter, because of the election of Janet Prusiewicz and other Democrats to the Supreme Court. You were able to draw fair lines in the Wisconsin legislature. And so what we saw was progress. Haven't flipped it yet, but we're gonna, yep. right? Yep. We are on path to do that. And next up, they will address the congressional lines, which are gerrymandered. But I think what that means next time is some of these candidates who came close, like Becca Cook, you're looking at a race that probably wins next time. And I hope that's true. And I honestly, I wish Becca would run again. But I think that there is a lot out there. And so it matters that Republicans don't have a supermajority in Wisconsin. So when Governor Evers vetoes a bill, it stays vetoed. That is the case in North Carolina as well. We broke the supermajority in part of the legislature, but that's enough that when our newly elected Governor Josh Stein vetoes a bill, it stays vetoed. And those things matter. The idea that we can look at and protect our rights at different levels of the ballot, that we can have people who do the work that we know that Democrats do in office, still there, still fighting for us, matters. And sometimes you don't have to take it all the way over to actually make a difference. In Virginia, in 2017, after we had that devastating loss in 2016, in 2017, the Virginia legislature came very close to tying, but they very nearly flipped the legislature to Democrats, not quite, and they still expanded Medicaid to, I believe, 400,000 Virginians. Those are people who didn't have health insurance and suddenly did. All of these things make a difference. And honestly, we are seeing right now, Donald Trump's going to do bad things, and I can't, you know,
I can't stop some of them.
Right. But what I can say is, we have already seen Matt Gaetz go down as a nominee. I think we are in the process of watching Hegseth go down.
Yes.
Right. I think that will happen. We are, we still have the power to make some noise. We still have the power to stand up and say, not on my watch, to stand up and, you know, throw a wrench in the works if they're really doing something really bad, or offer something good for them to sign on to. And then we keep working for the next cycle. So I've rambled enough, Maggie. You have to.
No. This is
sometimes, there, but those, and, that's how I am. I am both, right?
Well, there are some key themes here, Christina, that I want to distill out of what you said. Mm-hmm. And that is that, the saying all politics is local is even more true now. It was one of the first things that I said on November 6th. I said, people, our discourse gets dominated by the national political atmospherics. But when it comes to your day-to-day life, every one of you that are listening, your day-to-day life is most directly impacted by your local and state governments. That matters. And these are places where you see, especially in the state of Wisconsin, I think much more responsive government and, frankly, Democrats making many more inroads. We have a hugely important Supreme Court election in the state of Wisconsin in April coming up. So, like, yep, yes. The fight continues exactly tomorrow. Yes. So that's theme one I hear from your comments, yes. Christina, which I totally and fully endorse. And here's theme two that I hear. Do not forget the how thin these margins are, yes. and how close control is in these various states. Wisconsin's state government is more Democratic today, as I speak to each and every one of you, than it has been since for nearly 15 years, since Scott Walker's arrival on the state scene. That is an improvement, and it is material. The margins in Congress, the House is basically going to be down to a 2-seat margin. Currently, the last seat to be called was a House district in California yesterday, so that the overall totals are 220 Republicans to 215 Democrats in the House, but they're going to lose 3 Republicans. Gaetz is gone. He resigned. They're going to lose Elise Stefanik, and they're going to lose Waltz, who's getting appointed into Trump's cabinet. That brings that margin down to 217 or 215. Holy cow, if one of them or two of them stay home or don't show for a vote, that's how thin it is. And I think people remembering, one, all politics is local. Pay attention in your own backyard. Get involved there. You can feel the impact of your work immediately. And two, if you look at how close the margins are, very, I think, focused, concerted group effort in certain ways can have that impact because the margins are so thin. So yes. almost now, more than before, people's work, the fight, I think you're going to be able to see impact in a more immediate way because of how, frankly, divided and close the margins are across all levels of government, including in Wisconsin state government.
And that's absolutely true. And I think it's a really important point. You know, watching Gaetz go down, watching what I hope will be Hegseth,
him
to switch here, no votes had happened yet. We had not, you know, we had not seen a massive outcry. I mean, we'd seen outcry, certainly, but we had not seen a massive organizing effort. So just wait until we've all had our little rest. Like, we're ready, you know.
Yes.
We know where to engage and what to do, because the reality is when the margins are that close, the Republicans are going to have to listen to the people in their district. And they know, in many of these cases, you know, there's a reason why midterms are often bad for the incumbent party.
Yep.
And the party that has the White House, because you have to answer for what the White House does. Correct. Voters are not going to be able to hold Donald Trump accountable for what happens in the next 2 years, but they will be able to hold their member of Congress accountable. And we intend, I know from an Emily's List perspective, on helping recruit and helping get up and running the candidates who are going to put pressure on them. So do we hope, you know, we hope that enough of them do the right thing that sometimes we'll get good stuff through, or we'll at least stop some bad stuff. And where we don't, we're going to hold them accountable at the ballot box.
Shine the bright light. Yep.
And we don't need that many seats to flip it and really be able to take charge.
Thank you for extrapolating like the what's next or so what do those two things mean, Christina? Because that's exactly where my head was going. Right. When the margins are small, it means that they can do, all else being equal, it actually constrains some of the crazy. I frankly think Hegseth going down, which I almost guarantee is going to happen, saw a rumor on X right before I hopped online that his meeting with Josh Hawley scheduled for tomorrow was actually canceled with no reason given. If they're canceling meetings with senators, it means nearly certainly I think Hegseth is gone. I think Gates being gone, that's some of that impact that we're seeing. It gets hard to defend bananas guano crazy when your margins are that small. You have to be listening. With the improvement in maps in places like Wisconsin, again, those margins shrinking in state government, you have to be more responsive. You have to be less crazy versus the way it was before. All that to the benefit of every single American, right? Yes. Republicans, yes, and Democrats. More responsive government is better for every single one of us. We're going to take care of some quick business. We're going to come back with Christina Reynolds. She is the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. She worked on both the Harris campaign and Hillary Clinton's campaign. This woman knows how to be resilient and keep the fight going. We're going to talk more about what this means for Wisconsin. I actually pulled an essay that gives us some particular tactics to help us keep our backs up during the fight. We're going to share all of that and more when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you have a question or comment for Christina or I? We'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everybody, welcome if you're just joining. Hope y'all are having a really good hump day Wednesday. I know I sure am. One of the reasons is because I've got a great guest this half hour. Her name's Christina Reynolds. She is the Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. She served as Deputy Comms Director at Hillary for America. You've done all kinds of cool things. Frankly, your list of jobs, Christina, makes me very green with envy in the best possible way. She's helping us all put where we are in this historical moment as a country and as a culture in context, because I think there are lots of reasons to be activated, engaged, and to have some hope for what is next. She is, of course, with Emily's List. Why is it so important in this moment, Christina, to continue Emily's List work, which is to make sure that pro-choice women are elected to office in all gamut of races, be that state Supreme Court elections, local judges, city councils, school boards, and of course, President of the United States?
It's thank you for asking that, because I think the question that we've been getting a little more frustratingly is, well, maybe we just shouldn't, you know, if sexism was something that hurt Kamala Harris, then maybe we just shouldn't nominate women anymore. And I have an answer for that, but let me give you the answer for your question, which is because government impacts our lives in a significant way, and the people who govern should look like the people they govern. The reality is too often our issues are decided by a bunch of usually older, usually white, usually straight men. And that's, I share some qualities with those men, but not all of them. There are reasons why in the history of this country, for example, we haven't spent as much money on research for health issues that impact women or impact people of color or so on, because they're not the ones sitting at the table. There's a reason why we have a maternal mortality crisis that was not addressed, and particularly a Black maternal mortality crisis that was not addressed until a group of Black women said, this is happening, and we need to do something about it. There's a reason why issues like childcare were addressed when women started addressing them, because the bulk of care falls on them, why women are the ones driving the care economy questions.
Yes.
And so we need a government that represents us. And by represents us, I mean actually represents and is representative of the people that it governs. And that's why Emily's List does the work that we do. Now, we think we're pretty good at getting women elected. We've gotten over 1,800 elected in our history. And we're ready to do some more. What we see is those women are the leaders who do amazing, amazing work across the country. You all in Wisconsin get to see Tammy Baldwin's leadership every day. Yep. You get to see Gwen Moore's leadership every day. There are, women governors, there are women mayors, there are, women senators.
So Christina, take up that question that you kind of opened with, which was a different frame, because I've heard people say, Kamala ran on abortion and women were, Dems were running on the abortion question, and we can't get women elected clearly, and we shouldn't be running on abortion. And I actually think a complete misread of actually what's happening. Yes, there's sexism and misogyny and misogynoir, and we can still win on these issues and women can win elections.
And we can, yes to both of that. It's a great question, Maggie. So I think, first of all, when you look at the Senate races that we won, the ones that I mentioned, Alyssa Slotkin, Tammy Baldwin, Jackie Rosen, we had someone do just a word cloud of the words that were most mentioned in the ads on the air. And if you take out the, my name is Tammy Baldwin, I approve that, if you take out those words from the disclaimer, abortion is the word that you heard the most in those winning Senate races. So that is something that I think we should keep in mind. Honestly, Kamala Harris was doing so well on abortion that what you saw from Donald Trump was there was a group called RBG PAC, which is offensive in that they tried to take her name, and that spent millions of dollars convincing people in battleground states that Donald Trump was not a risk to their abortion rights.
Yes.
That's how you know it was a winning issue. And it was, I can tell you, I'm sure you all saw this in Wisconsin. In North Carolina, I saw abortion on the air from Republicans and Democrats, all saying the same thing, by the way, all saying, I'm going to protect your rights. I saw that on the air from state Senate, state House, all the way up to governor and president. So yes, it's a winning issue. No one issue is a silver bullet. There were a lot of things going at it, but, and yes, women can win. And I would point you to all those women I just pointed you to. Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton were different candidates who both faced massive headwinds in the sense of they were both running in change elections and they did not represent change, which is a funny thing given the history.
When it's a woman.
right. But when you're in the administration or your party has the White House for 8 years, you're not change. And that's something I think we should keep in mind.
It's interesting to me because in every instance where I have seen women ascend to positions where there haven't been any or very few women in those positions before, they always portend change. And they do so in very fundamental ways, but also in very subtle ways, usually to the betterment of everyone, simply because women think and approach things differently. Christina, I can't believe our time is already up. It is so good to see you, my friend. Cannot wait to keep this work going with you and others. My thanks to Christina Reynolds, VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We'll be right back. News, weather, and sports up next right here.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.